This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 371. And the winner is...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm great.
That's good.
Are you good?
I'm okay. I got this post-nasal, like, drip nasty thing going on.
Yeah, but you also have a puppy.
I do also have a puppy.
Yep. So you'll probably see a lot of pictures on our Facebook page of Eshpop III.
I'm trying really hard to not put...
Putting pictures all over my personal Facebook. They're like, kablam! Here's Eshpop looking super cute at the camera.
You know, she does have a Facebook
page. She panders to the camera like a whore sweats in church.
She does.
Which is all the damn time.
She is a photo ho.
Yeah, but she's cute as a button.
Yes. So we have another Esh dog. So, yay! But, yeah, that was awesome. But seriously, this post-nasal crap, not cool. Not cool. I want to be healthy again. So I'm hoping that will happen soon because I hate the sniffles.
I know you do, bro.
If you hear me sniffle, it's not me trying to be cute. I actually have spilkus in my genetic joint.
And I am coughing up my third lung. And have been for about a week
and
a half.
Well, that's why you have a third lung.
So I could cough it up so I could still live.
So
yes.
You could live. Because that's one lung too many.
That's why I'm so long-winded.
Oh, my. Is it going to be that kind of podcast, Panda?
It's always that kind of podcast.
Actually, that's right. You are correct. It is that kind
of
podcast.
Do pigs taste great when you slice them up and fry them? Yes. Anyway.
All right, so with that being said, we're going to jump into our show because that's why you're listening. So we really shouldn't delay.
No.
I mean, you don't want to just hear this banter of us going back and forth talking about bacon.
I mean, because it's not like something we do every week.
It's every other week.
Yeah.
And this is not a bacon week.
I know. Next week's a bacon week.
So this week, we're going to lead off with our question of the week from last week, which Panda said was
what is your favorite childhood video game? So we got two responses to this, which I'll take, obviously.
Yeah.
The first comes from Red Entertainment,
Red Entertainment.
And he answered via the Facebook, because he knows how to do it. And his favorite childhood game was Tetris. It's one of the first memories of video games he even actually has. And on the original Game Boy.
Yeah.
He had to add. Our other one comes from Ola Rob.
What up?
And he was pretty much just like, back when Nintendo really did games on other consoles, he played the crap out of Donkey Kong on the Commodore 64.
That's how you do it.
So those were some really great responses.
Those are good ones.
What's your favorite childhood game, Ninja?
So I go back and forth on this, but to be honest, because I have a lot of loves, Donkey Kong on the Commodore 64 was great. I think the first game that I ever played actually was Zaxxon on the Commodore 64.
I have no idea what game that is.
And that was the game that I fell in love
with. Was I alive when you played
with
that?
With video games. Shut up.
Was I a baby?
You were a baby.
Did I poop my pants a lot?
You, at that time, you were shitting yourself because that's what you did. It was your thing.
It was my 9 to 5.
It was your zen. but I think, if I'm honest, like, if you tell
Please,
me,
Please,
like,
let's be honest.
Oh, don't start that shit. That's already a rumor that people don't believe when we tell them it's not the truth.
I know. They need to stop.
But anyway, my favorite game of all time. All time.
All the time.
Burger time.
That time for burgers. Now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Like, I think that Burger Time probably was the game that, like, after I played it, and I played it, and I played it, it was the reason that Dad got the Intellivision, because I wanted to play that game all the time. Like, I would beg him to take us to our cousin's house, who had one, just so I could play that game, because I really didn't like that cousin, but I really wanted to play Burger Time. And so he got tired
truth,
of going.
Truth on the S show.
So he got tired of going over there, so I'm pretty sure that that's why that Intellivision fell off the back of a truck. And made it into our house because they were expensive.
At the time. Because consoles aren't expensive now.
Yeah, but we're talking like in '84, like $300.
Oh, you mean the year I was born?
You know what?
Anyway.
So anyway, but I think probably as a kid, my favorite game. Yeah, it was mostly Burger Time, and Keystone Cops.
Okay.
Those were my favorite games as a kid. Because I didn't have a Game Boy, so I didn't play Tetris until I was older.
Mm.
I think
I didn't even play Tetris. I think my Tetris was that, not
you played Columns.
I played yes. I played,
Game
that Gear. Was really my Tetris was Columns.
Yeah. And Columns was good.
I'm not saying, no, Columns.
I bought the iOS
version. Knocking Columns, get it?
Oh, my God.
But don't tish.
So, yeah, so it's a tie between those two. Because I fell for Burger Time, like, real hard. But that being said, I did not play the revamped 3D one because I'm like, it's not the same.
Right.
It's not the same. I need the 8-bit version. So I'll go with Burger Time. What about you?
I flip flop a lot.
No shit.
With
oh, I'm talking about the answer to this question.
Yeah, and in life. But for me, it is a toss up because, for one, I have claimed up and down, left and right, AB start, that I am a Sonic girl through and through.
Yep.
And it was really one of the first games that I had to do everything in it.
Yeah.
I had to get all the Chaos Rings, I had to get all the Chaos Emeralds, and as soon as, I stopped playing them essentially after 3, though, but really, if I could meld all of them into one game, you know, Sonic 1, 2, and 3, in one whole game, it would be them, and that'd be one whole unit. And the second one is DuckTales, the original, not the remastered, which I do own.
Yeah, and the remastered is good.
I'm not saying that the remaster isn't good.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that my love...
was for the original, the OG.
Yeah, because I played the fuck out of DuckTales.
Yeah, you did.
Like...
I remember.
I'd beat it and then start it all over again to beat it again. Like, I was just addicted to the ducks.
Yep. I remember.
So it was really, really between those two. And I think an honorable mention for me would have to be Samurai Showdown, because that was one of the first fighters that I really remember actively wanting to try to beat you in.
Yep. And you did whoop my ass with Ukyo.
Yeah. Yeah. And Charlotte a little bit.
Yeah, Charlotte a little bit. But Ukyo, you just whooped my ass.
I was like, bird, I knew, do my bidding.
Yep. I knew you were done and you were ready to, like, just kick that ass when you were like, Ukyo! And I'm like, oh
shit.
All right. I guess I've had my fun now.
So.
Let me take my punishment.
Yeah.
And then I got punished.
Yep. But then you punished me right back. So it was, it was a decent tug.
And a take.
When are we getting another one of those?
You know, you want to talk about a fighting series that needs to be.
Toshinden?
Oh.
Zandari!
Oh, I miss Toshinden.
Fuck yeah. Oh. Anyway. So, those are our answers.
The feels.
All the feels.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, thank you guys for your responses.
Yeah, we appreciate them. Those are some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Tetris, but because I played it later on in life, it's not like one of my favorite games as a kid. I don't think I played Tetris until I was in junior high.
And I mean, and I'm not trying to discredit, you know, our love for Mario, because, I mean, who doesn't?
No, I love Mario, but
who doesn't love Mario?
I was... I want to say, like, in 5th grade when I first played Super Mario Brothers with the Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Because that's when we got the NES.
Yeah.
It was, like, 4th or 5th grade.
I think so.
And so I played Burger Time long before that. So
and I mean...
We're talking about as a kid.
And I mean, I loved Mario. It was fun. But I mean, I didn't get really knee deep into my affections for the plumber until 64 when I got all of those fucking stars from Mario 64.
You got every.
Every last
damn
one.
Star.
And that fucking race when you're on the penguin and you have the penguin race and you have to beat it at a certain time. I was bitching. Bitch tits. That sucked so many balls. Icicles on the sides of my face. It was so bad. Oh my god. But anyway.
How do you really feel about it, Panda?
I didn't like that level. The snow level sucks balls. Like, you know.
I don't think I made it through the snow level.
And I refused. I think at one point you're like, can you help me? And I'm like, nope, fuck that level. I didn't say fuck them, but I was like, nope.
Yep.
I got my stars. I did my time.
I think that I got to, like, the 30s.
And there's like 100 and plus stuff. Yeah, there's like 101 in there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say I think I got to the 30s. And I was like, all right. Yeah, I think I got to a point and I was like, you know what? Nope. I'm done. Plus, you had already beat it.
Yeah.
So I would just load your save game and look at all the doors and be like, oh.
It's like, I didn't know there were doors here. Yeah.
Oh, there's a door there? Why is there a door there?
Go in there. Find out.
Yeah. Wow. So I just, I gave up because I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Before Lana existed. So I'm just throwing that out there to be honest.
You were noping it before.
I was noping it before it was cool to be like, nope.
But anyway.
So
thank you guys very much for your answers. I loved hearing them. I loved giving mine, and I'm sure my sister enjoyed giving hers.
I did. I love sharing. I like doing the nostalgia.
I love sharing.
You know, but I have this great book about the 1001 games
that you should play before you die.
And you should check it out, because I think there's some games in there that you would really, like, enjoy learning about.
I love learning.
That's what I'm saying. You should check out
the
book,
And I love video games.
You should check out the book.
I love sharing knowledge.
Book that has learnings about
I love video giving games knowledge.
And stuff. So
Pandaisms.
No, nobody needs
I need to write a book of pandaisms.
No, you don't.
It would be never on the bestseller list.
Nope.
I would have to self-publish. Nope.
See, I'm noping already.
I know.
Just throwing that out there.
So, with that all said and done, check marked and put into its file of completion.
Yeah, achievement unlocked.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of our episode today.
Taters.
We're wearing our fanciest pajama clothes.
Well, yeah, I mean, podcasting in the pajamas.
You know, I'm in my regal, comfy attire.
Regal. That's the regal one, huh?
This is the regal vest.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
It's a beagle vest.
Oh, will you stop it?
But, we are going to, you know, in honor of, you know,
stop. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a little bit.
In a long time.
Yeah. It's been a long time. Well,
Red Dead Redemption was a
Grand Theft Auto 5.
We didn't really... We did a little.
Yeah.
But like...
Well, because it took a lot to get into.
Yeah, yeah. The meat and the potatoes there. But anyway.
So, we thought, because one, we are drama nerds.
Of the theater.
If you did know that, you should.
How now, Brown Cow? Unique New York.
And was that a performance at Aresia
for fuck's sake.
I was going to say for frick, but alright.
For frack's sake.
Frack. So, we... Because we are girls.
We're ladies.
Just in case you forgot that. We are, in fact, interested in the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Which are coming up Sunday.
And not just for the clothes, either.
No, not for the clothes. For the actual awarding of statues for great performances by actors.
I'd love to get one day, but that will never happen.
I want an EGOT, man.
So we decided that we would do a theater Oscar themed show today.
Yeah, that's what we thought we would do. But there's a lot of awards. There's way too many
awards.
There are so many awards.
And I don't have the patience for a tenth of
them.
Frankly,
we don't. And we have even less for the entire length of the show even runs. So what we thought would be interesting to do would be to take, basically to get to the nut meat of the show, right? Because everything that happens is all a lead up to the Oscar for Best Picture.
Which is always the last Oscar to go out.
Because it is the penultimate award of the night. It's the one, right?
Like, everyone's there really for that one. They just sit for hours at a time getting to it.
Exactly. So we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we watched all the trailers for the nominees
for Best Picture
and then picked Best Trailer of Best Picture nominees?
And then if they happen to win Best Picture, well, then we could just we told you so,
we
bitch.
Called it.
Called it. Nailed Whoa. It.
Boom. What? Boom.
Mic drop. Not really, because they're expensive.
Shh. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that.
We use blue mics, so they're expensive. We don't drop those.
No.
We don't drop those.
Uh-uh.
No, no. No. I'll drop my phone before I drop that.
I wouldn't drop either of them because I'm poor and can't replace either of them.
Well, I have that. You didn't get the AppleCare on it? So that
oh, yes, I did. But still, I don't want to deliberately throw it on the ground.
I'm not saying throw it on the ground. What I'm saying is, if I'm in the airport running to try and catch my plane.
You run?
And I trip. So if I'm late, fuck you. But if I'm running through the airport, bitch, and I have
Love
my
you, bro.
Hoodie. You said you were going to be less douchey to me. Look, we're not even out of January. We're not even out of January, dog.
I don't run either. Okay. I briskly power walk sometimes.
But what I'm saying is, if I'm running through the airport, and for some strange reason, I have my Yeti in one hand and my iPhone in the other that has AppleCare on it, and I trip and start to fall, I'm going to cradle the fuck out of that Yeti.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have to cough up $300 to replace that bitch.
Mm.
I have to cough up $70 to replace the iPhone.
Okay.
$370.
Got it.
I got all my shit synced to the cloud, so it's backed. Oh,
I do that now.
I'm good.
I do that now.
You know.
It seems like the smart thing to do.
So, now, in talking about watching the trailers, well, we mostly wanted to do that because we really haven't seen many of these movies.
Nope. I could tell you that I haven't seen any of them.
Of those movies.
I have not seen any of the nominees. None.
So we thought this is the best way for Esh to go about this. Because we haven't done a live play in a while. So we thought, hey, why don't we watch the trailers live, talk about them, and then we'll pick our bestie.
Sounds like we had a plan this week.
We kind of sort of had a plan. So that's the plan. And we're going to start. You got American Hustle.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence in a white dress.
All right.
I think.
So this movie has Christian Bale in it.
Okay.
It has Bradley Cooper in it.
Okay.
It has Amy Adams in it.
Okay.
It has Jeremy Renner in it.
Mm.
And on top of all of that,
it has Katniss Everdeen.
It has Jennifer Lawrence in it. So basically, right off the bat, this movie is badass and it can't lose.
Do they still have the category for best ensemble film?
Like no, a
film
ensemble is in TV. That's an Emmy. Okay.
Well, because I remember when Crash, like, when that movie came out with Sandra Bullock, John Cheadle, and
Ensemble, like,
they got such a big nod for Crash.
Ensemble is an Emmy, and Ensemble, I believe, is in the Golden Globes, but okay. I don't believe Ensemble.
Fuck you, Oscars, because I feel like this would have been a contender for. All
right, so
Ensemble.
Anyway, the movie is about a scandal and con men and
women with titties.
There's sex because, you know, it's set in,
when there's scandal, there has to be sex, am I right?
It's set in the 70s.
Sex.
So it's kind of a period, please?
Kind of?
Because it's set in the 70s?
Right.
But it's directed by David O. Russell.
Do we know if he's getting a Best Director nod?
Well, I didn't scroll down the page, but I bet.
Because, I mean, that seems to be the thing, is most of the time when you are up for Best Picture, you're most likely there because, you know, the direction was top-notch.
Yeah, basically.
So is everyone who's best director is from most of the show?
No, yeah, it's one of the first times that let me rephrase this because I'm saying it wrong. It's one of the few times that of the movies that were selected for Best Picture, their directors were also
nominated for Best Director.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's not nine movies up for Best Director. There's only five, but there are nine movies up for Best Picture because the Oscars opened that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year was the first year that they did it.
Okay.
But so David O. Russell is up for Best Director for American Hustle. Alfonso Cuarón is up for Gravity. Alexander Payne is up for Nebraska. Steve McQueen is up for 12 Years a Slave. And Martin Scorsese is up for Wolf of Wall Street. I already love it because Jennifer Lawrence is in it.
Of course.
I love Jennifer Lawrence. And it's got Amy Adams. And evidently, I there's like a scene where they make out in a bathroom. And evidently, it wasn't scripted. Amy Adams just went for it. And Jennifer Lawrence went along with it.
Hey.
And then it made it into the movies.
Hey.
And there was like a thing someplace. It was a meme, but I kind of hope it was true. Where she was like, hey, if you have an opportunity to kiss Jennifer Lawrence, wouldn't you take it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'd offer her pizza.
And if Amy Adams actually said that, she's almost more of a hero to me than Jennifer Lawrence.
Almost?
Almost. Not quite. Almost. All right, that comb over is amazing. And Renner has, like, Pesci hair.
He looks like a young Joe Pesci.
He does. Everybody thought Oliver Stone's
mask was going to
stay in the office. All right. Okay,
what?
Wait. If Bradley Cooper doesn't win for having those curlers in his hair alone, so he has a curly little fro, it's sad.
He wasn't necessarily in good shape, and he had this comb over that was rather elaborate. He had this confidence that drew me to him.
Yep, so you don't have to be hot. Confidence, man.
No, in the 70s, you didn't have to be hot. You just had to have that confidence and a good suit.
Life is ridiculous. And you know that I would never say anything bad about your father in front of you, but your father is a sick son of a bitch.
Seriously, can you not love Jennifer Lawrence?
You play your part.
Oh.
You knew your choices were bad, but you had to survive.
We were so successful.
You had to survive.
We kept it just small enough. If you're that successful, how come you wound up in this room with me right now? Taking orders from me.
Plus, Amy Adams is just hot.
This is Agent Damaso, placing $75,000 in this briefcase for Mayor Carmine Pulido.
Ooh.
He's an undercover. I see sex. I see intrigue. I see somebody that just died.
I saw dry cleaners.
I had those curlers. When they were all done being cool, they turned color on the inside. That's how you need to take them out. Oh, nostalgia.
I saw Katniss Everdeen's booty.
I have a feeling that you see a lot more than Katniss Everdeen's booty.
I think we're going to see some tatas.
I think there will be tatas. And I feel like I really probably should have seen this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the cast looks amazing, and they all seem to bring it in the trailer. So, I mean...
But that also can be played... That could also be tribute to the editing team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean...
Because the movie is only as good as its editor.
That's true. You're very, very correct, Panda. Next up, you got Captain Phillips.
Tom Hanks movie.
Surprise, surprise. Tom Hanks is in a movie. Tom Hanks' movie is up for Best Picture. Surprise, surprise. I'm pretty sure
Tom Hanks is secretly Tom Hanks.
Here's what I know about this movie. You got your Tom Hanks based on the actual events.
How based Somali, on the events?
Somali pirates, bad juju. I don't think I'm missing anything.
I don't think you are either. There it is.
So, other than, hey, it's Tom Hanks.
I feel like this is the other version of Castaway. Like, it's like Tom Hanks on a deserted island, Tom Hanks on a boat.
There's pirates. There you have it.
And, I mean, and Tom Hanks probably has the most shiniest, personable, humanistic credibility.
Humanistic?
I'm making up words. He's not human.
Wait.
He was in Saving Mr. Banks, for fuck's sake.
Tom Hanks was real busy this year.
Yeah, I know.
What's up with that?
So, Anyway.
Rita Wilson, like, get the fuck out the house. You've been home too long. I mean.
I think he needs a vacation. But how can you be? How can you take a vacation when you're Tom Hanks? You're always on when you're Tom Hanks.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep. I'm sure he goes to, if he ever goes to, like, a McDonald's, he's like, like, he can't just go in there and be like, I want an egg McMuffin.
You know what's cool is that the guy who's, like, the lead pirate in this movie or whatever...
Yeah?
...was a cab driver the year before and was discovered while driving this cab. This is the first movie he's ever done.
I want to know what people, like, when they get discovered like that, like, what is that it?
I don't know. I do kind of love Tom Hanks whenever he does an accent.
Listen up. We have been boarded by armed pirates.
So he's Tom Hanks.
I think
if he lived in New England for like 8 months,
trying to do Gloucester.
Gloucester.
What's up, Gloucester?
It will be all right.
No, it won't.
Where is the crew?
I don't know.
You think we're playing? You think we're playing?
You're gonna shoot somebody? Shoot me!
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
That guy was a cab driver.
Holy crap.
1 minute.
You come with us
or not get everybody!
Oh, don't get in there!
Gotta get him off the ship!
Not like this!
That is not cool.
The Navy is not gonna let you win. They would rather sink this boat than let you win.
I come too far. I can't give up.
Why would you?
What,
would you take with a sub?
It was supposed
a little
to be
mini sub.
I take ship, ransom.
Nobody can touch me.
No, that's not how that goes.
Other than kidnapping people.
Maybe in America.
Yeah, there are a couple other things other than kidnapping people in America, but wait, why do you think that you can kidnap somebody, a captain?
Captain Phillips, can you hear me?
And put him in a sub. And then you'll actually get a ransom. You can't do that. They will kill you. You are dark-skinned. Okay,
that's very dramatic. Absolutely. And I feel like he likes to stay in his wheelhouse of drama. Like, Castaway really me.
No, he's been doing drama, like, for a while. Everyone forgets. Tom Hanks was a fucking comedian, and he did comedies, man. Well, Tom Hanks.
He's been rocking
funny
some.
Tom Hanks.
He's been rocking okay? some serious
okay,
face.
Okay, then he was in Bosom Buddies. Okay, Tom Hanks.
I know.
I think the last like quasi funny movie that he was in was You Got Mail, which I have so many issues with. It's beyond like.
I love anything. You've Got Mail. I love Meg Ryan. Because all Meg Ryan wants is love, and she can never get it.
Yeah.
She can't get it in our time period, which is why she has to go
all
to...
All I'm saying is Captain Phillips looks like it was a good movie. It's very, very serious, though.
Yes, I don't...
And I don't always enjoy Tom Hanks when he's very, very serious.
I don't think I have a problem with him being serious, but I have to be in the right mood.
To enjoy Tom Hanks serious.
Yes.
Can we agree on that?
Yes, I can agree to that.
Okay, that's good. Dallas Buyers Club.
McConaughey and Leto, right?
Yes. See, you're knowledgeable about these already. Look at you, Panda. 3 for 3. Let's see if we can keep going.
Well, Dallas Buyers Club, I know, got a lot of
a lot. So, one, you got McConaughey in Dallas in '85, which is basically like every '70s porno movie portrays it. Is my understanding
positive for HIV. Have you ever used intravenous drugs? Have you ever engaged in homosexual
trauma? You say homo? You made a mistake. That ain't me.
Mr. Woodruff, we estimate you have 30 days left.
Damn!
There ain't nothing out there can kill Ron Woodruff in 30 days.
The drugs.
They just released their testing, and I know that this hospital's one of the size. I need it.
It doesn't work that way, Mr. Woodruff.
Wait. Jennifer Garner's in
the
movie?
Yes, she's
they
in
the movie. They didn't even credit her as being in the movie.
Yes, they did.
How did I miss that?
She was in the middle of McConaughey and Leto. That's why you didn't see her.
Well, there's one place to be. Hey-o! You
could be making a fortune off of it.
You look great.
Honestly, I look amazing.
Anything to declare?
Nada.
They're importing illegal drugs for sale. A very serious offense.
They're not illegal.
That guy looks like Larry Bird.
He does look like Larry Bird.
Looking for you, Lone Star.
Miss Tinkerbell, unless you got more cash or new clients, I'm busy.
You don't deserve our money.
Cut you in. 5%.
25. Take it or leave it.
Welcome to the Dallas Buyers Club.
Serious?
You treating these people?
How they're treating themselves. Well, I ain't selling drugs, I'm selling membership.
What?
These are patients.
Yes, sir.
They're also the names of players on the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a hell of a voice, man.
The hell is it? I have a court order permitting us to confiscate any and all non-FDA-approved supplements.
We need new supply.
Check Amsterdam, Ghana, and Israel.
We're doing business with you.
Oh.
Nice restaurant, beautiful woman. That's where I feel like
we need to see this movie.
Mr. Woodruff, what is going on?
People are dying.
You're nothing more than a common drug dealer.
Peter Trayon.
Freaking Como.
Yeah, we gotta see this movie. Yep. Alright, I'm gonna tell you right now. Jared Leto. Amazeballs. Already, McConaughey, amazeballs.
He's been getting a lot of praise
so
for this
much
chops.
Weight for this movie.
Yes, he did.
Holy crap. So did Leto. And didn't they shoot this like wicked quick on like the DL?
Yes.
So, love that trailer.
Yeah.
That's a moving trailer. But see, I buy McConaughey in series, even though he was in that skeevy movie where he was a perv. Drug one, Dazed and Confused.
Hey, all right.
Exactly.
That guy.
He was that guy. Yeah. Nebraska.
I'm assuming it's got white ladies in it?
No.
I thought there was an old... No, there's an older white lady, because she was on Ellen, and Ellen was talking about her performance in Nebraska with Meryl Streep. And this old lady who got a nod, but I don't remember the old lady's name. She's like 84 years old, and she finally got a nod. And she's been acting since she's like 19.
No, it's Michael Dern and, what's his face?
Wait, Michael Dern is in Worf?
No, not Dorn.
Oh.
Dern.
Okay, sorry.
Laura Dern's father? When you watch the trailer, you'd be like, oh, that guy!
Watch, it's gonna happen.
And then, I'm blanking on his name now.
Okay.
He was on SNL.
That doesn't help.
He, was Jenna's, trans,
Will, no, not...
Yeah, Will Forte. Will Forte. Yeah, Will Forte.
I was gonna say Arnett, but that's a different Will.
No, that's a different Will. But he was also on 30 Rock. Oh. But Will Forte.
Okay.
So this one, has Bruce Dern, not Michael Dern.
Okay.
I made that mistake. Will Forte, Stacey Keach, who I thought was dead.
Is that the old lady?
No, Stacey Keach is a dude.
Oh.
Remember the TV show Titus? I'm trying to think of ways that you would remember Stacey Keach, because you won't remember the badass stuff. Titus?
Then Fox. Maybe it's June Squibb is the lady who was on
Obviously, because it's not Bob Odenkirk. But Nebraska is about this guy, the character that Bruce Dern plays, who gets the notice in the mail that he's won a lottery, you know, those fake ones that tell you that, but he believes it. And so he goes off to get his money.
Okay.
And his son, played by Will Forte, is like, what the fuck are you
talking about?
No. So, whole movie in black and white.
All right.
I think that right there makes it cool. That's probably the reason why it was up for Best Picture alone.
Well, I mean,
Not to mention, you have Bruce Dern, who's Laura Dern's dad. Being serious.
So you told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska.
That's
that guy.
See, I told you, be like that guy. I know that guy.
We are now authorized to pay $1 million to Woodrow T. Grant, Billings, Montana.
This is a sign.
You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. Let's
stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
This is his wife.
I never knew the son of a bitch even wanted to be a millionaire.
I love it when old people curse in movies.
Oh, apparently when they were doing the interview with her on Ellen, they're like, you know, you swear a lot in your movie. And she's like, I used to do Broadway for years, and I was the dirtiest mouth on Broadway. So I felt like I knew this woman.
Why didn't you tell us you was rich, Woody?
David said not to.
You got money. Yeah, we sure would like to see what $1 million looks like.
This is the problem.
God damn, Woody Grant's a millionaire!
That's Stacey Keach.
Oh.
If Woody hit it rich and I don't see any of it, that would be wrong.
Are you threatening my family?
Yeah.
Everybody's saying that Woody Grant's a millionaire.
That's no big deal.
No big deal. Jeez. Million here, a million there. Well, the newspaper's gonna do a big write-up on you.
Oh, well, it did well at Cannes, so obviously it must be really good.
Honestly,
I love Bob Odenkirk.
Woody didn't win anything.
You're a damn liar.
Hey.
Oh, of course, because it's from the guy who did Sideways.
Sideways.
There you go. Yep, that's why. Yeah.
Is he peeing?
I don't know. I hope not. So that one definitely seems quirky. And since it's shot in black and white, and it seems quirky, what that tells me is it's probably really freaking emotional.
I'm going to assume it is, too.
Yeah, I bet it is. Emotional. Philomena, which has
Dench.
Judy Dench, yes, the dame,
and she has a
Michael
kid,
Coogan, yes,
and she doesn't know who her kid is, and he's gonna help her find her son that she gave up because it was like a
it was
sin
taken
that she,
away by the church,
right? Because she was Philomena. getting right. Nasty.
I'm gonna say that I already love this movie because I love British movies.
I love British movies, and I'm a fan of
and it's
Coogan.
Got Steve Coogan, who I absolutely adore, and it has Judy Dench in it.
Dame Judy Dench.
I was gonna say, who's a dame I adore as well.
Snap.
But you fucked up my joke.
Sorry.
Mrs. Martin Sitzeth used to be the BBC's man in Moscow and Washington.
You're depressed.
Well, I got the sack. I'm unemployed.
Yes, but it wasn't your fault, was it?
That's why I'm depressed. What are you working on?
Well, and Coogan said that, like, when he saw, read the story about this woman in the paper, that's what made him want to do the movie, because he doesn't typically do drama.
I think I should do a human interest story.
But, he was on The Daily Show talking about it, and he just seemed, like, so touched and, like, genuine, and I was like, aww, you're so cute. You have a real heart.
Oh, no.
He's just joking.
And, hello, Dame Judy Dench. You have to see anything that she's in.
Yeah, it's a period ad.
Yeah.
What about Anne Boleyn?
That's
a lovely letter. Somebody had that.
We're going to have to use your real name, Philomena.
I only want to know if he's all right.
Perhaps these older nuns could help us with some of the details.
And when at the Golden Globes, didn't he bring the real Philomena on stage when he won the Golden Globe?
I think so.
I think he did.
Yes,
that's adorable.
No, I used to be. My guess is that Anthony was adopted and sent to America.
I think I would like to go. I'd like to know if Anthony ever thought of me. I've thought of him every day.
All right, this movie's going to make me cry.
Yep.
You could watch Big Mama's House. It's about a little black man pretending to be a fat black lady. He looked hilarious, Martin.
Seriously? They got a Big Mama's House throw in there? All right.
Yep.
I'm going to buy this movie.
He died in Vietnam.
Whether it wins or not, I'm going to...
What if it was obese?
What makes you think you'd be obese?
Because of the size of the portions.
That's true.
My auntie.
I met him.
Where?
At the White House.
Oh, God. What was he like? And did you remember anything he said?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Might have been high.
Yep, this movie's gonna make me cry.
Abandon my child.
It's gonna make anybody... Yep.
She's been looking for him. She's been her whole life...
Don't go on a date movie to this movie.
Nope.
It's gonna make you cry.
I've
don't
never
do
been
it.
To Mexico, but I believe it's lovely. Apart from the kidnappings.
Yep.
That's touching and warm and yeah.
It's gonna make you cry. So that. Gravity.
George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in space.
Yes.
A lot of people
I
are
think that this one was like it was filmed within an inch of its life, is what I heard. Like, the visuals are absolutely stunning.
Yes.
Especially since the majority of it is, like, CG.
From what I've heard about this movie is that a lot of people feel like this movie is really strong in its setting. And it's not necessarily strong in story. It's the atmosphere and character development that really makes this movie shine. Because the premise is barely a premise. It's barely a...
Well, thank you, drama nerd snob. Adjust your glasses.
I'm not even wearing them today. But, so let's look at the trailer and see if I can see
is, like, one piece that I saw already in the trailer. Looks like there's a big accident in space and somebody just gets disconnected from the spaceship. And how do you get back to that planet when you're disconnected from the spaceship? And you know what? That right there would make me shit my pants. So, let's watch Gravity. By the way, yes, Earth from space is absolutely gorgeous. A few hundred miles above the Earth. And if that shit's in 3D, that's totally not cool.
I actually think you can see it in 3D.
No. See, yep, no. Right there, there's a lot of pee that's happening. There's a lot of shit at that point when I get disconnected from the plane. There's a lot of throwing up that's now happening if I'm in this situation. So there's pee, there's shit, there's throw up. I am now not connected to the ship. It's blowed the fuck up. I am flying through space. This is not cool. Not cool! Sandra Bullock's grab the spaceship. Don't let go. George Clooney. Oh, I hope he was able to grab that. Oh, no, it looks like he didn't. Yep, it was in 3D and IMAX 3D. Nope. Again, lots of pee and shit.
So it's Sandra Bullock reaching for an Oscar and George Clooney being George Clooney in a spacesuit. So from the trailer.
Yeah. From the trailer.
Because
we're only judging trailers here, Panda.
We only are judging trailers because we haven't seen any
of these movies.
But at the same time, so do we get a heightened sense because of the atmosphere and setting? Absolutely. Do we feel the tension between the characters when the ship blows up? Absolutely. So I definitely see a strong pull to those things. But without seeing the whole movie, I cannot completely say that is all the movie is.
All I can say is from seeing the trailer, I'm not seeing that movie.
I know Eshmom wanted to see that movie.
No, Eshmom could not see that movie.
I don't want
to see it. I can barely get you and Eshmom on planes now. Her.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes?
Talking to a chick on a phone because they're like in love, I think. I don't know. Maybe?
It's basically Super Siri.
He's in love with his computer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Her.
Oh, okay.
I'm just throwing this on because I just want to see it.
We need something a little happier. We need to change the pace of these trailers.
Because we're not getting much happier after this.
No, we're not.
We're going into sad places. And I love Joaquin, but he just seems like such a weird cat, man.
Sometimes you gotta be weird in this world.
I just love that Spike Jonze has directed a feature-length fucking film, man.
You're kind of nosy.
Am I? You'll get used to it.
So...
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
Who's the voice?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, of course.
Samantha, she's an operating system.
You're dating in a list? What is that like?
I feel really close to her. Like, when I talk to her, I feel like she's with me.
I want to learn everything about everything. I want to discover myself.
I want that for you, too.
Keep going. Falling in love is kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity.
Is Amy in every movie?
Yeah.
Computer?
She's not just a computer.
You always wanted to have a wife without the challenges of actually dealing with anything real. I'm glad that you found someone.
Oh,
I want to see this movie.
Never. My end is coming strong enough for a real relationship.
Is it not a real relationship?
I feel like we're in that area of like Lars and the Real Girl.
I never saw that.
Oh, that's a good movie too. You should see that one.
I should have seen that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I hope Scarlett Johansson does not get a nod for this because she's not in the movie.
She's a character in the movie. She showed up. She did work.
But you don't see her, and we all know.
But I have a feeling when you watch this movie,
you might
feel her.
Oh yeah.
See? Oh, that was Rooney Mara. I thought that might have been.
So this is definitely my kind of movie.
Why haven't we seen this?
I love movies, especially love movies that are a little weird, like Lars and the Real Girl, who I don't know who directed that.
Well, you know, look, here's the thing. I love Spike Jonze because he's just so quirky and he's just so off. But
he likes to come from a very real place in that in that awkwardness.
And that, I think, translates really well to his movies. I'm already in love with this movie.
I want to see it.
I'm really disappointed that we didn't see it. 12 Years a Slave.
People movie.
I'm very upset at myself that I didn't actually see this movie. Wait, because it's not a black people movie. Because that's, like, Soul Plane.
That hurts.
Truth hurts, don't it? Yeah. That's a black people movie.
I'm kind of glad we didn't see this for a date movie, because it would have been a horrible date, because I'd be mad at the date and at Benedict Cumberbatch for being in this movie.
Well, you don't know what capacity he's in the movie yet.
Is he Smaug? Does Hobbit? Does the dragon Smaug invade this land and burn it to the ground?
No.
I want to ask you what part of the country you come from. I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself. I traveled for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
Shit whales.
I was born a free man. Lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped. Sold into slavery.
Yeah. Not cool. Yep. So not cool. Yep, this whole movie right now.
Solomon Northup, I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Oh.
Paul Giamatti just slapped somebody.
Yeah, a slave.
Shall be beaten with many stripes.
That's scripture. The condition of your laborers, it's all wrong.
And my property.
You say that with pride.
I say it.
Brad Pitt's in this movie, too.
You come here.
I said come here!
No, no. No.
If you want to survive, do and say as little as possible.
But
I don't want to survive. I want to live.
You know something?
I did as instructed. There's something wrong. It's wrong with the instruction.
Master brought you here to work. Any more, I'll earn you 100 lashes. I know what it's like to be the object of Master's lash.
No.
In his own time, good Lord, manage him up.
Albert Woodard did it! Holy shit!
Nope,
nope.
I will get myself out until freedom is opportunity.
Panda, don't cry. Don't cry. But Paul Giamatti is a bastard. And, Michael Fassbender is a bastard. It's very possible that Benedict Cumberbatch is also a bastard in this movie.
I want this one to win. For one, I think it's about time that we have a piece like this in film. Because how...
Choose your words carefully, because Amistad. Go.
Amistad was great. I'm not saying there was anything wrong with Amistad, but what I want to say here is that most of the time when you get slave pieces, you see someone's exaggeration and a caricature of the time.
Right.
From the pacing of this trailer, there is an eerie, slow, crawling pace that even though there's action going on, there is this subdued element that makes you realize the severity of being a slave. And only from this 2-minute trailer does that comb over you. And that is powerful.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine if the whole movie...
You know the whole movie's like that. Steve McQueen did it. The whole movie is that.
So if it doesn't get Best Picture, and I'm not just saying this because it's black, because that's really not what I'm trying to say here, but it is humanizing. And it's not an exaggeration. It is paced in a way that makes you want to think and absorb. As painful as that is, it makes you want to do that.
I have nothing to add because you said it all. So our last trailer to watch is a Scorsese fic.
Oh, look, and Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. Oh, look, Jonah Hill got another nod. Probably not a win.
And Matthew McConaughey is in it. So Amy Adams, Tom Hanks, Matthew McConaughey in all the movies.
Well, not in all the movies, but in a chunk of movies this year. They were all working. They were hustling.
They were making all that money. Some of them were in American Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if McConaughey shows up in a credit somehow.
He walks through the set.
Jonah Hill's teeth are really, really white in this movie.
He uses Crest strips, and they might be fake teeth.
I'm sure that they're fake teeth, but they're very, very white is what I'm trying to say.
Someone decided to play a joke on Jonah Hill, and they made the teeth a little bit bigger and a little bit whiter.
Well, all I'm saying is it worked for him.
You show me a pay stub for $72,000, I'm gonna quit my job right now and I work for you. Hey, listen, I quit. Yeah, I'm going in the stocks.
Jordan Belfort.
And this is also
based on reality?
Yeah, a true story. Fit my high-minded ambition. About the guy who was called the Wolf of Wall Street.
From your client's pocket into your pocket. But if you can make your client's money at the same time, it's advantageous to everyone, correct? No. I started my own firm out of an abandoned auto body shop. We will be targeting the wealthiest 1% of Americans.
I love three things. I love my country, I love Jesus Christ, and I love making people rich. Hello?
But I needed to mold them in my own image. With this script, I'm going to teach each and every one of you to be the best.
This is the greatest company in the world!
I was becoming a legend.
Aren't you married?
Yeah, but maybe.
I really wanted to go to that party.
I was making so much money, I didn't know what to do with it.
$26,000 for one dinner!
Dad, we're not poor anymore.
Tell them about the sides. What are the sides? They cure cancer?
The sides didn't cure cancer. That's the problem. That's why they were expensive.
I love Jonah Hill. I really do. He really is an extraordinary actor. I think it comes from the comedy. And Leo, too. Like, if Leo's gonna win for one, this might be it.
He's got pictures of your whole inner circle. This is bad.
It's okay.
You're my temple.
You're all right.
This right here is the land of opportunity.
Did they just wrap that bitch in money?
Mm-hmm.
This is America.
This is my home.
Good for you, old man.
Never put on that. The show goes on.
They were on a boat. Is he just throwing $100 bills?
Who don't work for you, man?
Yeah, my money came to your boobs. Technically, you do work for me.
So this is going to be hard, guys. This is actually going to be harder than I thought it was going to be when we first thought about doing this. Because, so here's the deal. These are all really good movies.
Very strong.
They're
very
all
strong
really
contenders
strong.
This year.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to first throw out the ones that I think aren't going to make it.
Okay.
In this setting, I don't think Nebraska has a shot.
I don't think so either.
It's probably a really good movie. I don't think Nebraska has a shot. In this setting, I don't think that Her has a shot. It should, but I don't think
I feel like her might sneak up and grab other wins, I don't think it's going to get Best Picture.
But based off of the trailers, because we're supposed to pick Best Trailers, yes. is what I'm talking about. So of the ones that I've seen, those are the ones that I'm throwing out.
I mean, really, for me, I'm struggling between Dallas Buyers Club, 12 Years a Slave, and Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Trailers alone. Don't get me wrong, because Gravity was a great trailer too, but
there's something
that these three movies for me that they show in their trailers that Gravity does not show us.
Yeah. So as far as like best trailer for me, it's down to 12 Years a Slave and Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. Yep. I would have to agree with you. And I don't know.
Dallas Buyers Club. I'm saying it. That I gotta go with it. As far as like of the trailers, just the trailer.
Then of that alone. Because don't get me wrong, I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Yep.
But I also feel like we're dealing with two very heady subjects.
Yeah.
And subject matter in these movies. Yeah.
And both of their trailers really
showcase show
them well.
Yes. But. In order, you know, I'm going to sit on the opposite side of that fence, and I'm going to say 12 Years a Slave.
That's okay. We don't have to agree.
No.
I'm just saying that my bestie is Dallas Buyers Club.
And my bestie is 12 Years a Slave. So we'll see. And if it turns out to be her, I'm going to pee.
I
will pee.
Will, in fact...
pee my pants.
Watch Panda pee her pants.
I will pee my pants. But so anyway.
So there you have it. We got through them all.
We got through all 9 nominees for Best Picture.
And our besties go to Dallas Buyers Club
and 12 Years a Slave.
Which is why The Wolf of Wall Street will win. No, I think as far as like movies, American Hustle might sneak in there. But man, oh man.
You feel more impacted by Dallas Buyers Club and
by its trailer
and 12 Years a Slave. Not that I'm saying that you don't feel any type of tension really in American Hustle,
but it's different.
It's very different.
It's not visceral.
And I'm sure the reason why they probably held out on that is because probably the things that would have made it more impactful are things they don't want to show in a trailer.
With are different things. Like what Wolf of Wall Street and what American Hustle are dealing with are, you know, your stark good and bads, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, in both cases, about the abuses of money and drugs in their time.
Yes.
Okay? Dallas Buyers Club and 12 Years a Slave, you're dealing with a much more visceral, emotional, and at times, depending upon what side of the fence you're on, guilty thing, as opposed to gluttony, which we all can kind of agree is bad.
Well, we're still dealing with
one's voyeuristic,
morality and corruption, and we're dealing with that. It's like this focal point in all of these movies.
Yes, but one's the focal point is more on the morality as opposed to the corruption,
right? And one's more corruption over the
morality.
Yes, so it really kind of depends on the kind of person you are when
you got serious.
It really depends on what kind of person you are when you view these movies.
This was so enjoyable. We should do this every year. It should become a tradition.
I think it should be a tradition.
We just created the Esh Turducken in the Esh Besties.
Yes.
Which is not to be confused with asbestos. Two different things.
Yes. One has an A in it.
Yes. One does have an A in it, Panda. I pat you on the head.
Yay.
So there you have it. We have our besties pick. You can share with us your besties on our Facebook
page. And actually, that can be our question of the week. What is your
pick
for Best Picture for the Oscars?
Based on the trailer!
So watch the trailers, bitches! We did it.
Yeah. You could listen to them, because we did it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but you really should watch them, though, because you need the visual, not just us talking about it.
I know.
Because there are many times that our jaws were just dropped in a gape. So, we didn't really do you a whole lot of good there. But definitely check out the trailers for the movies. Again, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Share your picks with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, or on our Twitter at ESH News. Use the hashtag #EshQuestions, and we'll find it. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about the winners. And we can
maybe we'll live. Maybe we'll live tweet the Oscars.
We'll definitely live tweet the Oscars. And you can share with us, and we can, you know, cajole each other throughout the night.
Cajole each other, or console each other.
No, cajole. You know, share back
and forth. Oh,
tips and witty things.
Oh, that's a new word for me. I love learning. I'm so glad we're not a video podcast.
Yeah, this would be really inappropriate right now because of a video podcast. But share with us. That's the next question. So, other things that you can do, like listen to our podcast, which you can find on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also find in the iTunes store and in their podcast application on your iOS device by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. We're also in the Microsoft store as well as on Stitcher, which is so cool. So there's a lot of different places that you can listen to our show, including the Vogue Network, because you are participating when you're listening to our show on Vogue, like answering our questions or shooting us questions of things that you'd like us to check out, whatevs, because we're kind of cool. But we're not the only show that make up the Land of Esh. Our shows typically go out popping fresh on Monday, but on Tuesday you can follow us up with a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race, held down by our homeboy King Baby Duck. On Wednesdays, there are fresh beats pumping in your ear, trap, EDM, all the bass that's fit for your face, held Ooh. Down by... Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like yeah. that. I just came up with that, too.
That was nice.
Geek Aggro, hosted by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. And then on Thursdays, if you got issues...
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Program. Call in live. Share, quip, vent, talk. It's not a big deal, but you and the Issues dude can share stuff. It's pretty fucking cool. So you should do it. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff that we write about on our website. You can catch all of our reviews and news pieces at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. So with that, I turn to my sister and I say, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
I'm digging the new addition to the SNL cast.
Oh.
Shahir.
Shahir, yeah. Good stuff?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's funny.
I only saw the last week's episode. I didn't see the episode with Jonah Hill yet. I need to watch that.
I like her mucho, and not just because she's black. So, but
she's black.
But she's black, though.
Okay, that's cool.
I like it. What are you lacking?
Loot Crate.
I know, I do see a loot crate over there.
I love me some
I love your loot crates, too, because you share your loots with me.
Because sharing is caring.
And you have no room for some stuff.
And I have no room for some stuff. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Toodaloo. That's pretty much
the progression of
most franchise movie things. It's like, the first one was awesome, so everyone's like, oh, you gotta do it again. And you can't recreate, necessarily, the same feeling. So, but people want to go see it, so let's go make another one, and we'll try to do something new, and we'll make it live and spry, and maybe we'll introduce some comedy into it, too. And then you're like, what? And then they do another one that typically goes direct to DVD.
And then the fourth one's got a mechanical spider. A giant mechanical spider.
Yeah, it always has a giant mechanical spider. I do want to go out to a theater and sit in an IMAX room and see
Les Mis in 3D.
No, not.
Well, I mean, they did a lot of dramatic shots in that, so you actually don't even need the 3D the way that
the whole
shot
thing
that.
Was, like, dramatic. Are you kidding me?
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just imagining it in my mind.
Spoiler alert, everybody dies.
I read the book. I kind of know.
I was talking to those who are listening to the podcast. Just
all
just
of you high quick. Schoolers who have not read Lady
and I will
yet.
Tell you, I will tell you right now, the theater that I saw it in, just to, you know, go off on a tangent because I love tangents. Okay, so I'm up in what I like to refer to as the baller section. And so it's the nice, cushy, luxe level, nice seats. They bring you drinks to your chair.
I don't
chair,
know that kind of luxury.
It's well, you got to go. Okay, you won't bring your ass out to Dedham, so I don't even want to talk about it. But,
it's far away.
I'll drive, damn. So anyway, you're gonna go to Alston.
I did go.
But you were gonna.
I did go. I did go.
So anyway,
I didn't go.
I was in the baller section, and you were gonna go, and going through the movie, and I've seen the play, I've seen the performance twice, once in Boston, and
I saw it once
in Salem, and I enjoyed both performances, and you know, I was familiar with everything that was gonna happen, right?
Right.
Evidently, there were some people in my section who were not prepared for what was about to hit them. I imagine that they went, oh, it won some Golden Globes, and it's got Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe, so this should be really good.
No.
And they were not prepared because...
You have...
They started crying 20 minutes in and didn't stop until the credits
rolled.
Are
you serious? Like, don't get me wrong. It's called Les Miserables. So if anyone's happy in the story, then it's not the right story.
It's like a half a minute, a happy. There's like, it's all total. There's like a half a minute, a happy.
I wouldn't even say it's happy. I would just say it's mild contentment.
No, because they did some things. So there's like, all together put in the movie, there's like, if you did a supercut, there'd be a half a minute
of like people smiling.
There'd be like a half a minute of it. And so, like, I felt bad because, like, this one woman, like, bawling.
Bitch,
like,
read the book.
Like somebody had taken all the air that she could breathe out of her body.
I swear this person, whoever she was, saw the title Marley and Me and thought it was going to be a great buddy.
Thought, well, at least with this one, I know what's going to happen because there's going to be singing. No.
Like, not all singing is happy. Not all musicals are happy.
Yeah, it's comedy and tragedy. Comedy and tragedy.
And back in the day, comedy meant tragedy.
It did. So, like, they were not prepared. So I'm trying to fight back the laughter, not because of anything that's going on the screen, but because of the hilarity of just sobbing and, like, soul aching that's going on. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you do know that it's a movie. Like, Anne Hathaway did actually not lose any teeth.
I know, right?
I mean, they did. Her hair is short now. They cut it, but its hair grows back. You know, Hugh Jackman.
He got machinist thin. Like he got Christian Bale machinist.
Yeah, he did. He suffers for his art, which is cool.
He's a method actor.
So I was like just laughing through the whole thing,
and then Russell Crowe
tried. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he tried. He's tried singing before, and everyone's like, Russell, let's stick to the thing we know you're okay at. Let's not strive to be okay in multiple things.
As far as the role of Javert goes, he did an admirable job.
I would not say that.
I thought you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but
then you can't talk. I'm telling you, okay?
Because
I went
all in
thinking
because of his singing.
Dude! Don't worry about his singing. Don't worry about the clips of his singing because you have to see the whole body. All I'm saying is,
who are you, Randy Jackson? Now,
yeah, dog. Oh, this is what I'm saying, dog. All right, you gotta listen to me, dog. All right. What I'm saying is, my man. Okay. He tried. He's not a theater guy, okay? Hugh Jackman is a theater guy. He's not a theater
guy.
Anne Hathaway is a theater guy. And it shows. Like, they act and sing their asses off in the
movie. That makes sense. Okay? Didn't they win Best, like, Actor and Supporting Actor at the fucking Golden Globes?
For Les Mis?
Yes.
I know that Anne did.
You know, and Hugh Jackman
I believe Hugh
got
did as
actor.
Well. But here's what I'm saying. Russell Crowe, not being a theater guy, really, obviously, tried. It shows when you actually watch the whole body. It really shows that he tried. So I give him an A for effort. Was he the right person for the role? Fuck no. But he really did try. He didn't phone it in, and it's obvious. So I give him, you know, taps for that.
Were you the kind who gave Beyoncé Knowles an A for effort for Golden Girls? I mean, Dreamgirls. Yeah, Dreamgirls.
No.
I mean, and all that movie was singing. You think she would get? And she was the only one who didn't get a nod.
Yeah, no.
For that movie,
no. More effort needs to be applied.
Anyway.
So anyway, but Les Mis is not something that I would want to see in my home on a 3D screen, and it's not something I would want to see out in the movie theater on 3D. But, you know, Dark Knight Returns, hell yes. You know.
Well, because Les Mis is not necessarily action. Well, I mean, there was a lot more action in the book and more action.
It's just about the overall atmosphere. Okay, because there's a ton of action in there. There's quite a few fights that happen. We don't get to talk about Iron Man.
Nope.
But we do get to talk about Star Trek.
And I mean, I think people have done this to death. I mean, I really feel like there's really only
one thing that I need to say about it.
Okay.
If you haven't seen it, fucking see it. I don't care if you saw the first one. I don't care if you don't like Star Trek. You need to see the movie. It's a really good movie. Even if you don't have any of the previous lexicon.
Well,
damn. No, because even if you don't. Even if you don't.
I don't know.
It's a good action movie.
Yes.
There's funny pieces that you don't have to know who the characters are for those pieces to still be funny.
But there are certain comedic elements. There are certain comedic jokes that you have to know. No, you have to know. Because we went to go see Star Trek, me, Ninja, Hot Mess, and Esh Mom.
Yep.
Because we finally got her out and about.
Yep.
And
family time.
And I had Hot Mess on my left. And he's not a Star Trek fan, but he doesn't hate it either. Like, he's probably watched a couple episodes in his life, but never so much that he did, you know, his research on what happened in the whole, you know, universe.
Right.
And there were certain elements in the movie where, you know, we all know that, you know, Spock being a Vulcan, you know, the whole disconnect to emotions and understanding, and learning how to relate those feelings or showcase those feelings is kind of really foreign and hardly ever really truly accessible until later on in his development of character. And I kept laughing my balls off, and granted, I mean, I don't really have balls, but you know what I mean.
And that's what happened, because you laughed them off.
I laughed so hard, they fell off.
Went, tink, tink.
You know, and before. I mean, granted, a lot of the other people in the theater were laughing at some of this dialogue between Kirk and Spock, and Hot Mess is kind of looking at me like, I don't understand why it's funny. You know, and I had to whisper to him, I'm like, because Vulcans, they don't feel emotions or register emotions the way that we do. So when you hear him retort to Kirk, it's funny because, one, he's being snarky, so there is an element of emotion there that he just doesn't, that he's not equivalating to be an emotion or anything like that. So it's so funny to see a pure straight man and a pure punchline man in this universe. And it's delivered flawlessly. I mean, Zachary Quinto did his fucking homework, I feel like.
Definitely.
And so, I mean, some of those jokes with Spock and Kirk and his interactions with people, you know, if you don't have that lexicon of information or exposition.
But you can still enjoy the movie if you don't.
I know, but those are such sweet little morsels that make
you
it.
You can appreciate because
yes,
you know them.
Because I know.
But what I'm saying is, if you don't know them and you see the movie, it's still an enjoyable movie. You will still follow along with what's happening. You will make an emotional connection to a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
And you will enjoy the action
yes.
that's in there.
I'm not saying you won't.
Well, you just did. Because that's what I was saying. I was like, you don't have to have seen the first one to enjoy
this
movie.
No, but there are so many more morsels that you're going to miss if you don't have that
right,
prior
but
information.
But you still don't have to see them to enjoy them. So if I'm telling you to go see it, whether you've seen the first
one
or not.
I'm not telling people not to go see it.
Well, I felt like you were.
No, I was telling people to go and see it, but I want them to also do some research so that they'll get the full
enjoyment. You don't have to
enjoyment.
Do research. Just watch the first movie and then be like, oh, damn, I want to see what's next. And go see the next one. See it.
So
I'm saying see it.
Yeah, go and see it.
See it. I watched Epic last night.
How was it?
It was good.
Like Brave good or how good?
It wasn't Brave good. But it was okay. Not DreamWorks bad.
Alright.
Okay?
Okay.
So it was definitely Blue Sky, you know? It's you know, Ice Age, good. And not, Ants bad. Okay?
Okay.
Way to put it. No, it looks really good. The story is, you know, not far-fetched stupid. But it's not
Pixar great.
All right.
But it's really good.
All right.
So definitely worth a watch. Let me put it that way.
It's kind of like that Oscars category, best original score, and like when...
It always goes to like a Pixar or a short animated short.
No. In recent years, it went to It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp because it was the only original song written for the movie.
So everybody was like... So future game developers, have people...
Just have 3-6 Mafia do songs for you.
That, or, you know, just come up with some original song that your character might hum. You know?
Get back to making original tracks.
Yeah, that could happen,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it makes sense for a GTA to have licensed songs in it because of the radio station.
Right.
Okay? Because if you're doing something as a live stream, you absolutely need to be tapping into social, specifically Twitter. Because Nielsen did a study and said that, like, 90% of conversation that happens around TV programs takes place on social now.
Yeah.
And in real time. So, if you're having a big event, award show specifically, if you're not tapping into social, you're dumb.
Hey, I believe it, sis, because whenever we live tweet the Oscars, we're sitting in the same room live tweeting the Oscars. Not talking to each other. At all.
Oh, yeah, but you don't talk to me, so...
That's not true!
Outside of the podcast.
That's not...
It's kind of normal.
True?
Yeah! An invite. That's not true. It's like, that's only 90% true.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah!
I want to talk very briefly about a movie I saw. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Go see it. Please support this movie.
Do you
want
to say the title again and say it slow so people can know?
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Thank you.
Ben Stiller acted and directed in it. It's better than Zoolander.
Well, that's not saying a lot. Dude Where My Car is better than Zoolander.
It's better than Dude Where's My Car and Zoolander. It's really beautiful. It made Panda...
But is it better than The Royal Tenenbaums?
Oh.
Yeah.
I would...
Is it better than Lost in Translation?
Those are totally different movies. I liked Royal Tenenbaums.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Lost in... So, in my mind, if I put those three in a room, and they said we couldn't leave it until I put them in the order of how I like them, it would go Lost in Translation, Royal Tenenbaums, Secret Life of Walter Mitty. But it is in that group. It is beautiful. It is stylized. Even though he, you know, transforms this 3-page short story into a full-length movie and obviously had to modernize it for it to make some more relevant sense, it's still really, really done well. It kind of reminded me or made me feel refreshed like that animated short Paper Man.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Aww.
So I just compel you guys because it comes out, I think, Christmas, just like...
And what is it about?
Okay, so...
You're telling people to go see it. You might as well tell them a little bit about what it's about.
So, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty is obviously about our protagonist, Walter Mitty. And in the movie, played by Ben Stiller, he is a negative role manager at Time Magazine. And we're in the modern age where a lot of media, print media, is now being converted into digital media. And
it's done.
Right. But in this movie, it is slowly beginning to happen at this point.
Gotcha.
And Time is one of the first ones to get the, we're moving to online. And everyone at Time is kind of freaking out because they're like, oh God, what's going to happen to a lot of our jobs? And when you are the guy who archives all the roles, like the negative roles for photography, you're really worried about your job because, you know, digital cameras have made your job obsolete at this point. And he's been doing it for 16 years of his life. And it's all he does. He saves money. He works at Time. And he goes home and he has no personal life. And in the book, in the short story, he has this overly reactive imagination. And he goes on all these mind adventures to all these great exotic places. But in the movie, he actually physically does these things because he's looking for this photographer that only likes to work with him. And this photographer, played by Sean Penn, delivers his last roles. And And I'm submitting number 25 as the last cover for the Time magazine because it's the quintessence of life, and you would understand this. And Walter goes and he prints up the role, and number 25 isn't there. And, like, people were like, we need to know where this picture is because this is what's holding up this. And, you know, you're going to lose your job if you can't get this stuff done. And he goes tracking this man across the world looking for him. And when he finally finds him, the photographer's like, you've had it this whole time. It's in the gift that I gave you because there's a gift. And I don't want to talk about that part yet. But it is beautiful and it's refreshing. And it got snubbed by the Golden Globes. It got snubbed really bad, and I don't think it deserved that. So I'm putting my two cents down right now. It's a beautiful movie that everyone should at least experience once. If you don't see it in theater, so be it. I won't judge you, but please see this movie.